I didn't have a clue as to what to speak on, and I was reading through 2 Timothy. And I came to 2 Timothy 3:10, and as I read 2 Timothy 3:10, it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And you know, it just first hit me, the fully known. And I said, well, I wonder which known that is. Well, it's Edo or Gnosko or Epignosko or Epignosis. And come to find out that it's neither one. It's Parakaletheo. And I said, well, that's a different one. And it kind of caught me off guard. So when I did my search engine and found out that that's used 4 times in the New Testament and got to looking, so that I'm going to be doing a study on 2 Timothy 3:10, and I won't complete it tonight. But this will take probably a couple of series for me to do. And this, I might not even go a full 30 minutes, but I will give you what I have and what the Lord's laid on me. But in 2 Timothy, well, I'm going to read the 3 down to it to get good headway into what's being said in 10 and 11. It says, "This know also, that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." In 7 there, that's a verse that we as right dividers hit on almost every time we speak, because the traditional churches are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And people are constantly looking for a different church to hear what they want to hear. If they like what this church says better than what this other church, well, I go to it. And in 3:8 says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith." And "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou, Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul has given Timothy, say, "But out of all of these persecutions the Lord delivered me." And in 10 and 11, with the different degrees of suffering or charity, whatever. There's 9 different articles there, and if you, in studying the numbers, 9 is judgment. So throughout this whole process, Paul was judged by man. And in every time Paul was judged, well, man would punish Paul, and even to death at times. So we see where Paul was stoned and shipwrecked and everything else and beat. So Paul was at death several times in the deep. So Paul definitely knew what it was like to be judged by man, as if you haven't, I'm sure we will at some point be judged by man. I don't know whether it's going to be at the point to where Paul had to, but there's a very good possibility. But to fully known is the Paracaletheo, yeah, that's right. It's numbers 3877, and it's to follow near or attend as a result, to trace out or to conform to or to attain, fully know or have understanding. You see, Paul is telling Timothy that he knows that Timothy has followed him to the letter. He has traced his footsteps, so to say. Timothy fully followed up and traced Paul as his pattern. Naturally, Eunice and Lois, his mother and grandmother, would recommend him to study Paul's Christian course as a pattern, because I'm sure they were in the crowd when Paul spoke, either at Antioch, Iconium, or Lystra. Because Timothy is first mentioned in Acts 16. Well, when Paul was stoned and beat in the previous churches, that was in 14. But in Acts 16, 1-3, Paul, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him, Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him. This implies that the father was no proselyte. Against the wishes of a Gentile father, no Jewish mother was, as the Jews themselves say, permitted to circumcise her son. We thus see why all the religion of Timothy is traced to the female side of the family. In 2 Timothy 1:5, as in 2 Timothy 1:5, when he says, "When I talk into Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Now, speaking of 2 Timothy 3:10, this is what follows is said in opposition to the characters, principles, and practices of the wicked that is mentioned in the previous verses in 2 Timothy 2:3-1-10. And for the imitation and encouragement of Timothy and of us, also, as this is a Truth for Today book. The apostle calls the doctrine he delivered my doctrine, as he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Not because he was the author of it, or that it was a scheme of principles formed and thought up by him, but because it was the doctrine which he had received from God, which was given him to preach, and which he did preach purely and faithfully. Otherwise, it was to be the doctrine of Christ, and the same that which was preached by the rest of the apostles, and which was the doctrine of the Scriptures, and was according to godliness, and as preached by him, was all of a piece, and without any adulteration or mixture, and was open and manifest, and well known to Timothy, because Timothy searched it out, and others, for he used no hidden things of dishonesty, or conceal his principles, or keep back anything that was profitable. There's the four times that it's used in Scripture. The first reference is in Mark. Mark 16. We'll read 14 through 18. Chip. And in Mark 16, 14 here, this is after Christ has done appeared, have done been gone to the Father, and now he has come back and has came in with the apostles, the disciples. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And all these signs shall follow. That's shall follow there is parakaletheo. Shall follow them that believe. All these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. This is Christ speaking. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, every one of these five aspects, healing properties that the disciples had, not just the apostles, but the disciples had, is all recorded in the book of Acts and Corinthians. And well, I'm sure Romans too, but the Acts mostly has every one of these in it. Whereas a lot of traditional churches today are still playing on these aspects, trying to fool people, new wind of doctrine. Remember what I said? Trying to fool people and lure them away from what the truth of God's Word is into snake handling or drinking of poisons, and just to name a few. But it's going on today. In Acts 3:1-8, now Peter and John, speaking of, I'm going to give some allusions or some examples in Acts of the signs that Christ just spoke of to back up what he just said. In Acts 3:1-8, now Peter and John went up together in the temple, and this is right after Pentecost, right into the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning on the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up praising God. So this is one example. In Acts 6:8, a disciple named Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. This was a disciple. This was not an apostle. Remember? And Christ says, all these signs shall follow them that believe. So know that all these signs shall follow, parakletheo. The people that heard Christ say that, I would be willing to bet every one of those were witness to these miracles. In Acts 19:6, and when Paul laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on. These were some disciples that Paul found and asked if they had heard of the Holy Spirit. And this went on to say that we only know the baptism of John. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That is in Acts 28:3-5. Paul had just had a shipwreck. And, I don't know if it's a shipwreck because the ship just basically came apart underneath them and nobody got hurt. They just walked across onto the land. And Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. And there came a snake, a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And this viper was a poisonous snake because the natives that were there knew this snake and knew that just one bite and the person was done for. And Paul just shook it off and just went on about. And even the father of the big chief of the island or whatever, he had a bloody flux and Paul healed him as well. But those are examples that everything that Christ spoke of in Mark followed through to be fulfilled in Acts. So it was done. It's a done deal. It's not happening today. That was the first reference. And the second reference is in Luke, the first chapter, and it's Luke 1:3, but I'm going to read 1-6. Now, we know that Luke's gospel is, let me read what I have on the notes on the Luke. The divine gospel, divine purpose in gospel by Luke is to set forth the Lord not so much as the Messiah, the King of Israel, as in Matthew's gospel, or Jehovah's servant, as in Mark, but what he was in Jehovah's sight in the ideal man. Because Luke was a doctor, so Luke portrayed Christ as man, the perfect, the ideal man, whose name is the branch spoken of in Zechariah. And Luke 1, 1 through 6, "For as much as many I've taken into hand to set forth in order of declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding," that's parakletheleo, "of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know of certain things wherein thou hast been instructed." And he's talking about Christ, and he's talking about, well, actually he's talking about John here, but he's going to be talking about Christ also. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now this course of Abia was well known to Theophilus. And in Appendix 179, it gives the prophetic explanation of the birth and conception of John the Baptist and the birth and conception of Christ. It gives the dates, and it gives other examples. Pete Redmond gave a presentation of the course of Abia at the Carolina Bible Group conference. Can't remember if it was the last conference or the time before that. But please research, you know, get back in the archives and listen to it. Pete Redmond did a fantastic job, and I just can't even explain how much it meant to me to hear Pete give that message. And but that's the second reference, and the third reference is in 1 Timothy, and the fourth reference is in 2 Timothy. But the first reference is in 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 10. And the form, parakletheleo, is in verse 6. "Now the Spirit speaketh..." "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." That sounds, you know, that sounds almost identical to 2 Timothy 3, doesn't it? But depart from the faith here in 1 Timothy 4, 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." So it's like in 1 Timothy, Paul is referring to the faith that the person has and how they can lose it. And in 2 Timothy, it's a more personal afflictions that the person has as far as their attitude. But that's just my thoughts, and I'm probably wrong. "But giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, thou hast searched out, thou hast full knowledge of. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust the living God, who was the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And naturally, the fourth reference that I'm doing my presentation on, in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, and in 11, persecutions and afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now the doctrine is teaching. Thou hast searched out, thou hast followed up, and fully know my teaching. And the doctrine is 13:19, it's didaskalia. It's instruction, it's doctrine, it's learning, teaching. And without a doubt, Paul's doctrine was Christ. You know, because everything Paul did, he preached Christ. Christ was Paul's doctrine. Just to make it simple and straight, Christ was Paul's doctrine. But to look at a couple of references, it's used 21 times in the New Testament, and it's used 2 times in the Gospels, which is Matthew and Mark, and both times are used in a negative sense. Where Christ is scolding the Pharisees on teaching the doctrines of men that they themselves have changed from God's Word. That's Christ is scolding the Pharisees. Go figure that. Why would he do that? The Pharisees don't do nothing wrong, do they? And the other, and the other 19 times is used by Paul, of which Ephesians 4:14, Colossians 2:12, and 1 Timothy 4:1 are also in the negative platform of doctrines of men rather than God, which leave 16 times used as godly teaching. In Acts 17, Paul at Mars Hill, after teaching the Athenians of the unknown God, telling them in 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him, Christ, from the dead. He was telling the Athenians. He was preaching resurrection. At Mars Hill, he was preaching resurrection. Everywhere Paul went, he was preaching resurrection. In Romans 12:7, I had to pull this one up. Romans 12:7-21, and I'm probably going to run short here. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, this is Paul, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin is dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be death. Now this is Paul's doctrine. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which was made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that I might appear sin working death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow not, what? For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. Don't we all? You know, it seems like we all get caught up in the scheme of doing things that we know that we shouldn't do, but we do it anyway. If I then do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I can say that. I can't say that y'all do that, because y'all are good people. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Well, I don't try that. Now, if I do that I would not, it is not more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is our delight in God, the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Was I supposed to stop? I think I said I was going to stop at 21, didn't I? I just got carried away. But I'm going to go on to 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh the law of sin. In Ephesians, get into the to our today's studies, right, dividing our study today. I've done got a mind block going on here. In Ephesians 4:14-19. Now this is the doctrine that we listen to. Paul preaches to us that being a member of the body of Christ, Paul gives us this doctrine that we are in 4:14-19. Ephesians. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love, and may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is the doctrine that Paul teaches us. From the whole body, fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. This is the doctrine that Paul is teaching us. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But ye have not so learned Christ. We know Christ because Christ is our head. Christ is our heart. I jump 19. We, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And he says, but ye have not so learned Christ because of 19. In our walk, we can go to Colossians 2:20-23, and then 3:1-4. And this doctrine is a fantastic truth that's just beautiful beyond measure. In 2:20, and I'll go from 2:20 to Colossians 3:4. Wherefore, this is the doctrine that Paul gives the body. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, you are subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. After the commandments and doctrines of men. Again, I said this was a negative remark toward doctrines because it was the doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility in the neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, here Paul's preaching Christ, given the doctrine of Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, as Mike has this in his dental office. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is our life. Who is not even supposed to be there. But when Christ our life shall appear, then shall us, the body of Christ, shall appear with him in glory. That's all I had put together for tonight. But I thank you guys, and I will close in prayer. Again, thank you, Lord, for this day, and Lord, for all that you do. For Lord, for for looking after me, Lord, for just being the head, for the love that you give, and Lord, for the patience that you give the body to put up with me. For it's, Lord, we ask that you be with us as we just continue on studying your word. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.